It's been a long day. You glance at the clock as the big hand strikes 10:59 p.m. You stop to pour yourself a drink. No holding back. Only the strong stuff tonight. The crackling fire illuminates the room in a very comfortable looking sofa. You take a closer glance. And what's that? You see three men in bathrobes and slippers. What are you doing here?
All right. Just here for the pod and that.
Yeah, you know, the one you listen to after like that stressful day you've been having.
Yeah, the one with the three idiots talking about, you know, what they've watched, what they're going to watch, probably some other stuff too.
Am I supposed to say something here, am I? Or?
Oh, for fuck's sake. You take a seat, put your feet up, and listen to your favourite podcast. Welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. Hello, and welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight, the podcast where the 3 Minute Men gather to discuss what they've been watching, what they're looking forward to watch, and drinking whiskey, of course. Today, I'm joined by my fellow 2 Minute Men, who are Minute Men in themselves. You know, don't get confused. They're not 2 Minute Men. They are just Minute Men, but there are two of them. John, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. 60-second boys makes it a little bit clearer, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Clearer, easier.
I'll be a 30-second boy, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
No. We round you up.
That's some serious rounding up.
Yeah. 1 minute in heaven is better than no minutes in heaven.
True that.
Yeah.
How are you, Gaz? You all right?
Good, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right. John, you've been on holiday. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, what a crass way to start this podcast, to be honest. But anyway, so yeah, I went to Turkey. Never been there before. Yeah, you know, not having a go.
Straddles the line of Asia and Europe. What an interesting concept.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, very confusing for me because you end up in the Middle East, but the reality is they're in euros. So they're European, aren't they? That's how it works. All right. Yeah, look, Turkey was nice. You boys will eventually find out that going on holiday with a little one is somewhat
hard work.
Yeah. But look, there were highs. I think Ella belly laughing at the ocean. That will stick with me for a long time.
That's good.
Yeah. So I was like, what's so funny about that?
The funniest.
She was pissing herself. Honestly,
features.
It's like she was listening to one of our episodes. Yeah, absolutely cracking up. And then she had a little cornetto as well. I don't know if they have cornetto in America.
Describe it quickly.
I think they might call it something else.
It's an ice cream. There you go. Quickly.
Fuck it.
It's an ice cream. Yeah, so no, it was good. Lots of...
are your film reviews like that? June, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's an ice cream.
Sand.
No, it's not. So lots of Germans in Turkey. Lots of German TV.
Achtung.
I watched lots of... I actually watched an episode of South Park in German. That was a bit mad.
Oh, yeah.
Simpsons as well. American Dad.
Sing the theme tune to South Park in German, please.
I mean, it's exactly the same. So I'll tell you what really confused me. So American Dad was on. And it's like, you know, after a couple of days of no English TV, and it wasn't a smart TV, so I couldn't like hook up my phone to like Netflix or whatever.
Stupid TV.
Which is very, very annoying. But it was either that or BBC News or CNN. So those were the English channels. Yeah. But American
BBC
Dad was on.
The whole time, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it was the Carl Rittenhouse trial. So I watched a lot of CNN there. We won't talk about that because we don't want to offend anyone. But that was interesting. But no, so American Dad, that comes on and the theme tune's like, dun, 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 dun. Good morning, USA. I'm like, oh, brilliant. USA. It's going to be in English. Show starts. It's in German. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is the intro
now, just
still
to clarify,
English?
Again, for any of
Hello.
These. Any of these. Any of these listeners who are geographically challenged, they don't actually speak German in Turkey.
No.
This was Why was everything in German?
Well, I mean, they're
hotel guests.
No. I mean, look, you should know this with your geography powers. They're their biggest trade partner. There's a massive German community in Turkey. In some ways, they've invaded again.
But, they're getting away with it too.
Yeah. So lots of Germans in the hotel. I can't tell who is worse as a tourist, Northern English people or Germans. No, I don't care.
English people. We're the worst tourists in Europe, easily.
No, but
easily.
They were all smoking. Now, you know, if you're in England, if you're in London, you're a liberal guy like myself, you don't see people smoking in bars, even outside now. It's so rare.
No.
Everyone was smoking in this hotel. It was fucking pissing me off. And I tell you what annoys me even more. You get old people there and you can hear them like proper coughing away. Like, I'm like, you're going to die of COVID, man. And even more so with this fucking smoking. Give it up. Yeah, give it up.
Sack it off.
Yeah, slack it off. Sack it off. But yeah, just that annoyed me. But all in all, it was a good holiday. And I'm glad I got out of this country before we go into lockdown again. Because obviously, Omicron is coming for us all.
Omicron.
That's not a Terminator's... Like a new Terminator villain.
What would be worse, a new Terminator film or Omicron?
What about both?
Here's the thing for you. It's do you know what it reminds me of? And it's RoboCop. It's the it's the corporation in RoboCop. OmniCorp, they're called. And this is Omicron.
Yeah.
So
it's the same in a way.
Named
it's
after that, I think.
It's the
dystopian future is here.
Yeah.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Now, if you want to hear us talk about RoboCop, go and listen to our How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That series.
Yeah.
The original. The original one, that was.
Plug. What a plug. Mm. Gareth, I know you're right. I mean,
all right.
We've had a very long story there from John, so we're going to have to speed through your story, but he's all right, everyone.
You asked me how my holiday was. Fucking hell. Like, I mean, the explanation on the ice cream is very short. Do you know what I mean?
You know what it is, Len? He's influenced by all these Germans and he's lost his Englishness. Because what happens normally when you ask an Englishman, how was your holiday? How was your week?
I guess, all right. That's it.
That's it.
That doesn't work for a podcast.
That's usually what John would say.
Doesn't work for a podcast.
No.
I mean, how was June? Yeah, it was all right. Anyway, see you later.
Anyway, quickly, let's run through our drinks, everybody.
Oh, so I don't get any story time. That's fine.
No, ask him something. He just had a nappy disaster. Ask him about that.
I did.
Okay, I'll ask him what his whiskey is. What's your whiskey?
My whiskey, as you boys can see, but obviously listeners won't be able to.
I bought him that
little bit of a treat. There
is the Hakushu single malt Japanese
and take the
whiskey
fucking piss,
from
mate.
The
and take the piss.
From the Hakushu distillery. So it's beautiful. It's in a nice green bottle, which is great, and it tells you that it's the distillery surrounded by forest at the foot of the southern Japanese Alps.
That's why I bought it for him.
I presume that it's distilled by like blind monks or something. And in fact,
spirit creatures.
I'm gonna pour a glass now, and you can
lots
hear
of
it.
Smashed
you can hear the
bottles.
Sound. You can hear the sound of Japanese monks crying into it. And it's lovely. It's as with most good Japanese whiskies, it's just very clean and sharp. Lovely,
like their blades.
Indeed.
Hattori Hanzo.
So yeah, that's the Hakushu. Which yes, Len bought that for me to celebrate the birth of my daughter.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm going to treasure it.
John, coming to you next. It's 9:40.
Yeah, 40. I'm not drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I've had enough, to be honest.
Boring now.
I am, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'll talk more about my holiday.
go and have a cigarette with your German mates.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
Just go and have a cigarette with them. It's disgusting.
Well, I've had some cocaine before this podcast, so I haven't really. Now, I've got a recommendation of a whiskey, though. One that I do enjoy. So it's from Glenmorangie or Morangie. And it's the Quinta Ruben. So it's basically a port casked whiskey.
Lovely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, Christmassy. Nice.
It's really good in winter, as most whiskies are. I am going to buy myself a bottle after this podcast because it's only like 50 quid or 4,000 Australian dollars. So, I recommend that. But right now I am having, I've actually got a whiskey tumbler and ice, but it is orange juice.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was missing out a little bit.
Okay.
So very nice.
Pulp, do that pulp-free or pulp? It's pulp in there, yeah.
There's some pulp in there.
Pulp boy.
Yeah.
Stop saying pulp.
Pulpy.
Pulp. Okay, I'm drinking this is lovely bookend to the situation. The whiskey that Gareth bought me for the birth of my son, Alfie. Yep. This is a Laphroaig 12-year smoky peaty whiskey that is absolutely delicious, served with one giant cube of ice. So it's perfect.
I reckon...
One of my favourite drops in the world.
Yeah, I reckon, Len, you ordered his whiskey, like it was like 6 weeks in advance... And then it took another 6 weeks to arrive from Japan because obviously those monks, those lazy monks, are checking their emails. But no, I reckon Gaz picked yours up from like a petrol station.
Dan Murphy's.
Dan Murphy's. Wow. Yeah.
mine's a very good bottle of whiskey that I got.
Literally
you
like
so.
The bottle-o around the corner from you.
I mean... It's not a problem, is it? If it comes
What's
free
the second
with my
cheapest one,
but it tastes good.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I gave a bit to my car and then put the rest in a bottle for Len. And also, I will just point this out: Len's little Alfie was born a week before my Willow, so I did the whiskey thing first. That was my idea. So
yeah. Okay, lovely. Thank you for the whiskey. It's delicious. So, as is tradition in this podcast, we are going to talk. To each other about basically what we've been watching, what we'd recommend to each other. And
I refuse.
I've been watching a lot, so I'm very excited about this.
Can we just hear more about John's holiday,
we're looking
please?
Forward to. No more about John's holiday. But before we get into that, I just want to say a lovely shout out to our Patreons who have been absolutely amazing. If you've ever been a Patreon, or you know, in the past, and you're not anymore. That's absolutely fine. We thank you as well. Thank you so much for everything that you've given to us. It's enabled us to make loads of great shows. I just wanted to shout out a few of our favorite Patreons because they've been just so amazing,
loyal,
and so supportive of the podcast. Very, and I just want to shout them out because I think that's a lovely thing to do. Thank you to Isaac Carty, Michelle, Len, not me, a different Len. Len, you know who you are. Jamie West, Michael Corsi, Diane Auer, Leslie Seibold, Shalini.
Shalini! I haven't heard that name in ages.
Laura Beamish, Andrew, Timothy M. Sweet, Randy Reed, Sarah L., Beth Panico.
Beth.
Panico at the Discio, yes.
Off-White Saviour, Holly White, Richard Carroll and Jessica Monero. Thank you so much, guys. Your support has been absolutely fantastic. And if anyone does want to support us on Patreon, the money goes towards
charity,
equipment, hosting costs, everything that a podcast, you know, there's a lot of operational costs that are involved. And it enables us to come up with new concepts, new show ideas, like 60 Minutes to Midnight. If you do want to sponsor us, it would be hugely appreciated. You can go to patreon.com/fancritical. Next year, we're going to be covering a lot more shows because they're back in actual full-time production. But in the meantime, you know, a lot of our... a lot of our
original
own coverage,
content.
Our own concepts, original content has been fantastic and fun, and that will be continuing, especially the ones
that's
that
not
have
us
gone
saying
down
that.
Very
that's
well with
other
listeners.
People.
That's you saying that, yeah. So thank you very much, everybody. Thank you to those amazing Patreons. Now we can crack on and talk about what we've been watching. I want to start off this week's discussion with something that quite nicely fits in with what has been a global phenomenon over the past month or so, maybe the last 2 months. Obviously, we covered Squid Game quite heavily on this podcast. I think we talked about it on three separate podcasts, and it had its own spoiler cast. South Korean television and cinema is at an all-time peak at the moment. Like, we talked about it, how they're, you know, shooting for the stars. you know, Oscar winners now.
That's a new series, is it?
Streamed show.
North Korea don't like that. Stop shooting for the stars.
Don't stop shooting. Everyone put your guns down. Yeah. Right? No more missiles being launched, please. But basically, they've invested so much into their arts programs that their TV is absolutely phenomenal at the moment. Like, if you thought Squid Game was good, get yourself watching Hellbound, the new South Korean show on Netflix, because I personally think it's better than Squid Game by quite a distance. I've watched it all, and I'll happily say right now, it's a five bloob show. It is a total five bloob show. Guys, have you heard of Hellbound? Have you heard of this show?
I can tell you that the only reason I've heard of it is that when I've gone onto Netflix and haven't started anything, it keeps coming up, the picture with the big monster and the kid running.
Yep. Now, what I will say, John, have you heard about it? Have you heard about Hellbound?
Yeah. Just now when you were talking about it. So sounds good. Sounds really good. Bit overrated.
Yeah,
but
I'll tell you about it.
I'll wait for that part of the show.
I'll tell you about it. Right. Now, there's one caveat to this, okay? And I'm going to tell you, before you go and watch Hellbound, please try and ignore the bad CGI, because the concept of the show is thus, and Gaz mentioned it already, there's like a monster, right? The concept of the show is thus, and it throws up loads of great philosophical questions about humanity, which are really interesting, and they dive into it really well in the show. Reminds me of something like The Leftovers, which I love. So here we go. The concept is that at some time, a couple of decades ago, but now more prominently, angels are appearing to certain individuals and telling them when they're going to die and that they're going to be sent to hell.
Ooh, spooky.
Okay? And
bit annoying, that.
This was only like rumor or hearsay, but now obviously as mobile phones,
I'm well annoyed
and,
now,
you know, globalization's happened, people can film these events, okay? So there are starting to become more occasions where these are being filmed. And what happens is these three creatures from hell come brutally murder you and suck the soul out of you, leaving a charred corpse. This is no spoiler. This is like literally on the poster, okay?
Big poster.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, huge poster. Yeah, a lot going on. So basically the show deals with this being a thing, like, oh my God, like hell is real. You know, who is being sent there? Why are they being sent there? The only thing the message tells them is very limited. They don't get told why they're being sent there or anything. And it throws up this whole new society, you know, with religions and cults and other forms of violence, control. And it's just fucking amazing. Like, I went into it. I didn't know it was a huge hit. And I'll talk to you about it in a minute, how huge a hit it is, because this is on track to maybe overtake Squid Game at the moment. It's up there. It's getting maximum reviews from everything that I've read about it. Guardian.
I give
tomatoes,
it maximum review.
Maximum review. And basically, yeah, once you get past the CGI, which is ropey, because obviously like it doesn't have an amazing budget at the time, this show is just fucking amazing, and I need you all to go and watch it now. Please stop what you're doing, go and watch Hellbound. I'm very excited by it. And I
sounds
really
good.
Want you to watch it. I want six episodes, so it's only six episodes, I think, and they're about an hour long each, so you can get through it quite quickly.
About 6 hours.
So it's similar sort of length to about 6 hours.
I do like the sound of that.
But yeah,
it sounds
like,
good.
It's great.
Hey, can I?
It is great.
Can I offer a teeny bit of insight into the Korean, arts revival? Although it's been ongoing for a while since like the '90s, but it is a very deliberate thing. Essentially,
the government
were annoyed that, or they were worried that their culture was being basically dominated by Japanese pop culture. There wasn't enough representation of what it was to be a South Korean, sandwiched between China and Japan, pretty major arts producers. So they went, all right, let's let's pump shitloads of money into this. And it's been such a massive success. It's insane.
It's been a massive success. I mean, if you think, and I know this is a random thing to throw into a podcast, but Gangnam Style, right? And that, now this is, that's probably the first global hit. Say that.
Sort
that,
of.
That South Korea had. But then since then, K-pop and just K-pop genre, everything, TV, whatever, is just huge, you know? So I and to be honest with you, I absolutely love
Gangnam Style.
Their style of Gangnam. No, but the style of directing with
sexy lady.
Squid Game,
woo,
and this Hellbound is phenomenal. Like,
he's not in it, is he?
John is dancing in the background. I'll tell you something about Gangnam.
Is he
style.
One of the three creatures?
No. Psy actually received the decree, and he's being sent to hell. So that's okay. The downside. So, you know. They're going to beat him, the shit out of him, and send him to hell. But no, please do watch Hellbound. If you guys can watch it anytime soon, maybe we'll do a spoiler cast on it or something, because I do think it's going to be huge. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes at the moment.
It's definitely on there, is it?
Make of that what you will. Yeah, of course it is.
No, because you said it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. As opposed to the score it's
got.
It's definitely on there. 100% it's on there.
Definitely on there. No, it's 100% on there, and it's got maximum. So whatever.
Maximum
reviews.
Maximum
reviews.
Yeah. Good that. All right. Enough about Hellbound. But seriously, I wish one of you had seen it so we could talk about it a bit more. But there's the general pitch. And just trust me, ignore the CGI and go watch it. Once you get over that, you'll be like, fuck me, this is brilliant. Okay. Hmm. Next on the list to discuss what they've been watching is John.
Mm.
John.
Hello. All right. Talking of global phenomenons, obviously the beginning of last year, we all go into lockdown. Everyone's
COVID.
Miserable.
Are you going to talk about COVID?
Just going to talk about COVID. Yeah, that's phenomenon. Making a comeback. Yeah. Omicron. Season two.
Season two.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like this. I'm not giving this maximum reviews. I've seen this before. I've just imagined that, like, being edited.
Minimum
in
review.
Medium review.
Fucking hell, what a bizarre scoring system that would be.
I think we get rid of blueberries. Get rid of them.
Set off the blueberries.
Get rid of blueberries.
Yeah.
This is much better.
Yeah. maximum reviews all round. Well, obviously, it's a maximum review. Right, so I'll tell you what was getting maximum reviews from everyone at the beginning of 2020.
Go on.
It was Tiger King. So there's been this big thing about... Yeah, well, yeah. Just pause for thought there. yeah, good. Tigers and that. I'm assuming everyone here has seen it and loved it.
Should we put a spoiler clause in here?
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
that's good. That.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I won't reveal anything about season one just in case no one's seen it, but it's great. Yeah, like Tony the Tiger, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to have to stripe that from my memory. Stripe that from my memory.
Stripe that from my memory.
Yeah, I genuinely just heard him say, I'm going to strike that from my memory. And I was like, what sort of a pun is that? I mean, stripe's not much better, to be honest. But anyway, so Tiger King season one, everyone loved it. It went a bit mental.
I saw it and I'm not lying.
Oh, there he is. Yeah. Nah, you're a liger. So anyway, it's the same, isn't it? It's the same. But season two's just come out, and I use season two very loosely, because obviously the star isn't in it, and the story is basically over. And I think there are a lot of people that had this kind of concern about making a murderer season two, where it was kind of like, where does the story go? And actually, even though Making a Murderer season two wasn't as good as the first season, it at least had some new characters. And obviously that lawyer, the female lawyer.
Zellner.
What was her name?
Yeah, Kathleen Zellner.
Kathleen Zellner. Zellner. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She makes that series. She's quality. Have you seen any of Tiger King season two yet?
Is she in it?
Yeah, I binged it. Yeah, Kathleen Zelda. I binged it, John. I binged it in one day. What did I think of it? It's you know, it's kind of they're all over the place with it, because like you said, Joe Exotic is in prison, and they kind of have this weird video call interview with him that sort of feels like it was probably only a 10-minute interview, but 100%. They somehow spread it across six episodes. But then they focus on all these other characters who obviously became famous from Tiger King or were associated with Joe Exotic. And, you know, the biggest takeaway I had from watching it was number one, my thought was, just think about how amazing it is that they had this story and these characters, and they are characters in a way, for this documentary, because that is the gold. You know, having the interesting subject matter is the gold. And I did come away from season two thinking there's still some fucking crazy, crazy people involved with these big cats and these zoos. I mean, that guy, John, who's just basically bipolar and is just constantly swearing all the time, and he owns his own park. You know the one? You know the one I mean? Mm. I can't remember his name. But he's like a Joe Exotic, but a crazier one, who has like... and it sounds terrible, like he literally kills the animals at one point and stuff like that. It's just disgusting. And the biggest problem for me is that it should have focused more on the fucking animals. Like,
oh, that doesn't happen, like, is it? I'm giving it no reviews. That's really bad. That's
minimum review.
That's worse than minimum.
No, but like, it should have focused more on the animal welfare, because unfortunately the animals are kind of a side character again, where it's got to the point where Joe Exotic was obviously...
Well, they don't have a lot to say, to
No,
be honest.
But the fact that these fucking creatures are just treated in the most disgusting way. And yes, they do get Peter involved in the show, but I was kind of like, I felt
What's
like
he doing
they
there?
Scrambled. I felt like they genuinely scrambled to make this season, hence it being only six episodes or something, hence it having that, like I said, that really weird interview with Joe Exotic, hence also I feel like there's some stuff from season one that they've just whacked into a season two, like they've had on the cutting room floor.
Having not seen it, it feels very much like a money grab.
Like, oh, 100%. And if you watch like the first, I think the first 5 minutes of episode one, the whole thing is talking about how season one was this global like hit. And it kind of just feels like, it doesn't even feel like Tiger King season two. If anything, they should have called it something else, because it doesn't continue that season one story. That's kind of, that's within itself, that story. Like, I don't think they needed to make this series. And yeah, honestly, like, I don't really care about the people that they're talking about. This obsession about Carol Baskin's husband that, you know, oh, he's dead, he's missing. Right? Well, maybe he's not dead, actually. I don't care. You know, he's a dullard. And Carol is as well, to be honest. Like, Jesus. You know, she might not have killed her husband, but fucking hell, she is a dullard. Just move along, honestly. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he might be alive, he might be dead. He's a nonce as well. It's like, fucking hell. What's going on here? Can we go back to the Tigers, please?
I think the biggest problem that they had is Tiger King season two, and it all comes down to Donald Trump, this, because he could have, and there was a big rumor going around at the time that Donald Trump was going to pardon Joe Exotic, to the point where, you know, it was huge news that could happen, because obviously when presidents leave, they do pardon a lot of people, and Joe Exotic is someone under the Trump ilk, as it were. Never happened. Now, if that did happen, obviously season two could have been fucking fascinating.
Yeah. Trump's so selfish, isn't he? Ruining their series.
I'm glad he's gone now.
Unbelievable. but it didn't happen. And I kind of feel like the documentary was... like, obviously, if you're the producers of the documentary, you are praying for a release or a pardon or whatever, because you know, the character in there is just so amazing. And to have him released back into the wild, you know.
No.
would be a very tantalizing thought for them.
Can you imagine, though, if he came out, like, naked out of the prison and just was, like, galloping around on all fours? It'd have been beautiful, wouldn't it?
That's the opening. That's the end shot. That's the end shot. Just into the sunset. From behind or something.
Yeah, it's him galloping, always with you, isn't it?
Weird.
Why? Why do you have to specify?
Anyway. Well, it was just a beautiful image, and then you've the soured it. Yeah. Minimum review for you.
No, but John, I agree with you. Like, what would you give out of Bloobs to be interested? Not minimum, maximum, medium. What would you give out of Bloobs?
Well, I mean, it's easy to do that. I don't know, two. I'm just. It's just pointless. It just feels like I'm kind of watching it because I feel like I should. A bit like Star Wars, to be honest. So, you know, I know it's awful, but fuck it. Might as well stay here. I'm not going to walk out just yet. Because I know there's going to be some gold to take the piss out of and wind you up. So that's why I stay. Two out of five, I'd say.
All right, throwing it to Gareth, who's not coming to us with anything this week. He's coming to us with an idea, I believe.
You say coming without anything. I'm coming with
socialism.
More than the usual. I'm coming to you with a whole genre, whole subgenre. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to talk.
You've talked about this before with Wolf Boy, haven't you, or something? I am Wolfman or something.
What are you talking about?
Your favourite YouTuber, Wolf Boy, or whatever he's called, or Wolf something.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Eyepatch Wolf.
Yeah. So I was close.
Well, Wolf Boy's pretty close. He's not as good. but now I'm going to talk to you about a new subgenre called analog horror. And no, it's not scary stories about clocks.
God.
So I've been spending a bit of time on this website called YouTube.
Oh yeah,
heard of it? Yeah.
We'll put the link after so people can have a look at the YouTubes.
Go and support them. support them. So analog horror, it's not exclusive to YouTube, but YouTube is a place where it flourishes. It's a type of horror that doesn't exist in film and TV. And I think, you know, we've spoken about this before, film and TV horror often struggles to really create that sense of fear, like a real sense of fear. There are exceptions and there are some brilliant directors making truly horror-filled movies, but often it relies on like jump scares and stuff, and that's not what I want from horror. I want something that fills me with, you know, some sort of dread or like just unease and disturbs me a little bit. That's what I want from horror. And so analog horror, it's kind of YouTube's perfect because it's not bound by like a traditional narrative structure, right? So what it does is it kind of uses like analog types of media, like TV broadcast style or like old VHS tape sort of stuff. And often, like usually they start quite innocently. So it would be like a company video that sort of introduces new staff to the company or something. And then it just kind of turns really creepy.
Yep.
Some of it gets really dark. So I wanted to, what I thought I'd do is just sort of bring a couple of options to the table, right? So there's this one called Local 58. And anybody that's heard of analog horror will have heard of Local 58. It's probably the first sort of video series to use the term. And I'm going to stay deliberately vague with all of these because the beauty is in discovering them for yourself. So these are completely spoiler-free. But I will tell you, so Local 58 starts off as like it looks like it's an old cable channel from sort of the 70s or 80s in the US, and it's like an emergency broadcast from them, and it gets fucking weird. And so there's a lot of videos, and you kind of it turns into this big thing about the moon. It's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. But I don't want to say anything else because it's literally in the it's in the getting sucked in and watching it that it really works.
Well, that happens in it, does it?
Well, actually, I want to have a look at that now.
Oh my dad, local 58. Where is it? On what was that website again? TheYouTube.com, local 58, TheYouTube.co.uk,
is it? I am going to watch that. Not now, obviously, because it would be fairly disruptive to the podcast. But how long is it? The moon one.
So this is the other thing. This is the other thing, is that a lot of them are long because some of them have been going for years. And because it's not necessarily bound to a narrative structure, although some of them are, because it isn't, there is like they can keep going for a long time. So all in all, you've got a lot of them will have videos that are sort of 5 to 15 minutes long, which is great. And within that, you'll have some disturbing imagery and stuff that really, really freaks you out. But you're going to need to invest a few hours if you want to kind of get a story out of it. The other one I wanted to talk about, I've got two more I'm going to talk about. The Walton Files. This is the first one that I watched. And it starts off as like an employee training video to introduce a new technician to a company called Bond's Burgers, which is a restaurant that uses like animatronic animals as kids' entertainment.
I've watched it, Gaz.
It's exactly like Five Nights at Freddy's. Have you watched it?
Yeah. Because there's another YouTuber. So sorry, just to take away the realms of this, I actually am familiar with the YouTube. I have watched it before. And there's there's a YouTube creator called Nexpo. And all right. Nexpo,
spoiling this.
Sorry, but no, I'm not going to say anything.
He's coming up.
Oh,
he's
coming up. Ella screaming in the background. That's terrifying as well, to be honest.
Analog horror.
But he does a whole thing analyzing the Walton Files. So carry on.
What are the Walton Files? It's called. I'm going to come to Nexpo in a second.
Next in a way.
But, look, I mean, it's kind of restricted by it's restricted by some limitations, and you have to take a
bit. Pretty small, isn't it? Pretty small. If you're watching the YouTube,
John's holding up his penis at the moment. zing.
Maximum review. No, maximum. So
is that it's disappointing.
Yeah. Maximus.
But yeah, the Walton Files, you need to suspend disbelief a little bit, but oh my word, just some terrifying moments. The next one is one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life, and I don't want to oversell it now that I've said that, but
it's very Len
of
you.
It's the sort of thing that some people could watch this and be like, this is rubbish, like I don't understand why this is scary, but it again, it sucked me in. So write this one down.
Hurry up.
The Mandela Catalog, it's called. Not after Nelson. After Winnie.
Joke's on you.
So this one's kind of harder to explain, but it's like a series of videos that use different types of media. So we've got like some grainy home video footage. Sometimes it's like informative videotapes, like corporate style videotapes, but it's all about these things, these beings called alternates, which look like humans to sort of varying degrees. So some of them look exactly like humans. Some of them look like the most terrifying version of humans that you could imagine.
Crab people.
There is like nightmare. Sorry?
Crab people.
Crab
look like people. Crabs, crab people. Talk like
crab
people.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
There are some nightmarish moments in this. Is properly haunting. So what I was going to say is you can jump in and kind of experience them yourself, but it is a bit tricky. It can be a bit bamboozling because, like I say, it's not necessarily linear. It can be hard to know which video to watch first and which way to go. So I was going to mention a couple of YouTubers that do discuss them. There is Nexpo, as John mentioned. And his What Are the Walton Files is what got me into it. He's good, and he's really popular, but his voice is so fucking annoying. And he does this thing as well. Mate, he does this, right? He goes, I've written down, this is a literal quote from him. A tragedy that nobody saw coming in their lives. Ever. It's like, mate, stop Pauses. That sentence. Like four yeah. sentences ago. What are you doing?
Is yeah. he Canadian? I can't remember.
I think he's American, but with, I don't know, he's got an interesting accent. And just there are just certain phrases where I'm like, I'm not sure that your English
no,
is
next
fluent.
No, he's it's good. Leave him alone.
His video production
way better than us.
Is excellent. Top quality stuff.
Yeah.
I just find his voice a little bit grating with the horror stuff. It takes me out. Somebody else who I think is worth checking out is Wendigoon. So spelt like Wendigo. That.
But he's an Arsenal fan as well. He's a Wendigo Arsenal fan.
No, he's another American. Wendigoon. He doesn't do as much of the nightmarish dark video production that Nexpo does, but what he does is he looks a bit like a young Jon Snow, and he keeps it light. He sort of just chats to you about it and talks you through it.
Yeah,
so I think that those are good introductory ways of
of
getting into analog horror, which I think is just it's a burgeoning subgenre that needs a bit of support because it's fantastic, and the more people that watch it, the better stuff will come from it.
I'll throw one more in the ring there, and Neil Blomkamp has been doing some interesting short films with his studio Oat Studio. So Neil Blomkamp from District 9, he's had a very interesting career. And if you haven't checked out Oat Studio, it's now on Netflix, and they're basically short films that he's made, and some of them are really high budget science fiction, dystopian future, fucked up films. But he actually does these skits, which are analog horror. One of them is a cooking show, and it's really bizarre. It's like an 80s cooking show where they're showing these new things that, you know, I don't want to spoil it once again. It's analog horror. It's just disturbing. So that's another one to check out, Oat Studio. And Neil Blomkamp obviously has some money behind him, so some of the stuff is really good. So check that out. I like it, Gaz. I like a bit of analog horror. I haven't seen the Waltman ones or whatever, yeah. So I'll definitely check that out. But yeah, if you haven't seen these cooking show ones, watch them because they're kind of gross. Fucked up.
And YouTube.com, everybody.
The YouTube.com.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, just on YouTube, I'm glad that, you know, I mean, it seems like all you're doing is shouting out YouTube, Gaz, to be honest, every week. But I'm glad that there is someone else out there that watches YouTube as much as me, because I mean, it's a gold mine of content, and some of it, like the original creators on there, phenomenal. So good on you. Hopefully you're a premium YouTube member like myself. Yeah, I don't have to pay for it.
He's a cheapskate.
I genuinely am.
He's not.
I choose to pay for YouTube.
Yeah, but he doesn't even buy premium Spotify. This boy, he lets his ads run on his Spotify.
No,
that's disgusting.
It's absolutely fine.
No, that's
not a problem.
That is disgusting.
But no, but I pay for YouTube, even though it's free. I pay to be a premium member. So if you're a Patreon, you know, you go on there. I know these podcasts are free, but we do like the money. So, you know, I give money away for free as well. So you should.
Ah, yes. Yeah? As do I.
Mm. I want to talk about one more thing before we come on to what we're looking forward to watching and reviewing in the podcast. But I wanted to talk about a show which has actually just completely just blown my mind
evidently.
The last couple of days. yeah, I can't even speak. Have you guys heard of the video game League of Legends?
Yes.
Right? So huge video game. I've never been into League of Legends. It's obviously a massive game that has had almost a decade. It's like World of Warcraft. It's huge. It's one of the biggest esports in the world, has loads of lore, history, characters.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. I've never never had an interest in that game in my life.
Even though it's
and
big.
I'm a huge gamer, even though it's big.
How big?
There's a show, massive review, maximum review.
Jesus Christ.
That's a 9 out of 10. A 9 out of 10 is massive review. Yeah. And a 10 out of 10 is maximum review. Maximum. Okay. There's a show that's just dropped on Netflix called Arcane. It's called A League of Legends Story. And
is it called Arcane or is it called A League of Legends?
It's called Arcane. Arcane, semicolon, A League of Legends Story. Fuck me, this show is just the... The animation
is the best animation you've ever seen.
He's ever seen all day.
The style, the style, boys. You need to watch this show. The style of the animation is kind of like Into the Spider-Verse mixed with. It's just a bit cleaner, like less comic booky. It's 3D characters with 2D shading, yeah. And it's 5D. Impeccable.
It was mad. They were running around my front room. I couldn't believe it. What a show.
but seriously, this show is special, guys. This show is really, really special. And it's obviously set in a city within the League of Legends world. And characters, and I'm probably butchering this, you know, people who love League of Legends who might listen to this go, there's loads of famous characters in there. I don't know. I don't know anything about these characters. But you care so much about these characters in the show. The writing is amazing. The animation is amazing. The music is unbelievable. And the whole story and the world in which it lives. And I've never been interested in this game. I'm now interested in this world. It's Arcane. It's on Netflix. Please check it out. And you listened to me with Castlevania, Gareth, and you ended up saying, well, actually, yeah, that was fucking good.
It was good.
Watch this Arcane thing, and it's not as like dark as Castlevania, but the themes in it are pretty heavy, like revolution, warring factions, poverty, socialism, blah 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 blah, all this sort of stuff. But it's really good. Like, and I finished it today. I didn't think I'd be able to finish it before we podcasted, but I binged the last 4 episodes this afternoon because it was so good. It's just amazing. That's Arcane.
If you had
League
to recommend one of the shows that you brought to the table today, which one would it be?
Oh, it's difficult. See, for John, I would recommend Hellbound because I don't think Arcane's going to do him any favours. I don't think it's his thing, but, that's just, for you, favors. Gareth, I would say you'd also like Hellbound, but I know that you're more open to animated shows. So I would say definitely Arcane. As well as Hellbound. Watch both, please, Gareth.
You sold Hellbound to me more. I'm more interested in Hellbound.
Yeah, no, honestly, and I was more interested in Hellbound. And then I saw loads of reviews for Arcane, which is also getting maximum reviews.
Maximum
and it
reviews.
Genuinely is. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes at the moment, and it's got maximum reviews.
I don't think it's on there, actually.
But it's getting... It's
he said it was 100% on it.
But genuinely, I was the same. I was like, wow, I don't think I'm going to have anything else to talk about other than Hellbound. And then I ended up binging Arcane and I'm like, oh my God, this is a completely different show, but it's just amazing. So definitely check it out.
It's a different show. I thought it was just going to be the same show with a different name. What's going on here? I'm confused. This is all new. Out of interest, so how have you ended up watching Arcane if you've like not had anything to do with League of Legends?
The same. So basically, I know this show was very well hyped because a lot of websites that I go on were like, obviously, video game websites, and they were like, the League of Legends show is coming out soon. And I was like, okay. I have zero interest in that. And then I kept going back on the websites in the last few days. And the show's been out for about a week now. And every single one was like, even if you don't know anything about League of Legends, watch this show. If you like animated stuff and you appreciate like design and just character development and world building, check out this show. Then I listened to another podcast and they were like, guys, stop what you're doing. Yeah, sorry, guys. And they were like, go watch Arcane. And it's like, you know, okay. Homer Simpson, when he drives past all the billboards, and he sees one for Clown School, Krusty's Clown School. And he's like, he gets everything else every other billboard. And he's like, I'm not doing the Clown School one, though. And then he's at work and there's just clowns dancing around. It's like that with me. I was like, Arcane was just, every time I was like flicking through something,
there were people
like
rolling around being Arcane characters.
Doing magic.
But actually, they were on fire.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why, John. That's why. And then I watched it and was blown away.
If you had to
Google that.
If you had to pick... out of Castlevania or Arcane, because obviously back then you were like, Castlevania is the best animated thing I've ever seen ever, and then you switched it to video game.
Yeah.
So go on then.
Yeah. Castlevania, because I know Castlevania, so I've got like a an attachment to it as a video game, and I know the lore, but also Castlevania had four seasons, so it's had much longer time. It's had a much longer time to develop characters, and, you know, as Gareth will attest to, the end of Castlevania is pretty special, and that last season is pretty amazing. So I will
Luke
not go
Skywalker
against Castlevania ever.
So good. So good.
Yeah. Last episode. when we come back, we're going to jump into what we're looking forward to and what we're going to review here on the Fan Critical Podcast. All right, guys, coming up next week is a pretty big film. And look, I feel like, and I know you're sick of it.
Size with you.
You're sick of it.
Biggest, hugest, massive film I've seen.
But seriously, I know we're bored of it. Marvel, let's just get it out of the way. We're talking about it a lot. We just did Eternals. And John, by the way, we didn't really love Eternals. So when you do get around to watching it, which will probably never happen.
No. Well, I've listened to your review, so I know what happens.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So no point. No point.
But we did say in that podcast
You
go on.
To any listeners, if there are any, John has listened without watching the film, so you can do the same. It was a good listen, wasn't it,
John? A lot of people do, Gareth. Yeah.
It was a very good podcast. There was one bit where you were having a go at Justice League again, which annoyed me because, you know, the new Justice League was very good.
That was Gaz.
It was very good.
Yeah, but that's what I said. I defended it.
Can't be arsed with that.
Gaz had a go at
me. No, I
get minimum
it.
Reviews.
Maximum reviews.
A lot of people listen to the podcast without watching the film because it informs them of their decision if they will go and watch the film. And we said with Eternals, one of the things we said was, look, if you're just a casual Marvel fan, skip this one. Just skip it completely. Don't worry about it. Like, not that there's some, you know, it's just not enjoyable. Like, however, we did say save yourself for this following one, which is Spider-Man No Way Home. And I think one of the shining lights in the Marvel franchise over the last 4 or 5 years has been the Spider-Man films and the Spider-Man character played by Tom Holland. And if you're thinking, why am I interested in a Spider-Man film now? Well, this Spider-Man film is very, very, very special because it is multiverse Spider-Man. We're going to see a sort of Sinister Six formed with returning Doc Ock, Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, Jamie Foxx's Electro, the terrible, terrible Sandman from Spider-Man 3 is somehow coming back, Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man. And we're also seeing the return of, and they haven't confirmed it yet, and they've denied it for years, but it's definitely going to happen, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield alongside Tom Holland's Spider-Man. This, to me, feels like a very special film in the making because people like those Spider-Man films. Like, okay, Amazing Spider-Man, maybe not
Spider-Man.
So much, but Spider-Man. but Tobey Maguire, there's so much affection for Spider-Man 2 out there. Like, some people still think it's one of the best superhero films of all time. I think they're wrong. I think it's very good. But this one, surely, guys, is one you're excited to see.
Yeah, but
this
we
has
know
all the,
too much
all the
about it already. Like, honestly, fucking hell, I feel like I've already seen the film. Like, I mean, what are they going to do? Like, if they kill Tom Holland off, brilliant. I'd be like, oh, okay, wasn't expecting it. But it's like, what's the fucking point? What's the point? And again, I'll say this. Tom Holland, very good spider boy. a very good Spider Boy, but but his films, I've not enjoyed them. I find them, yeah, I find them okay. They're right, you know, they're fine, but I've not been like, oh, brilliant, really good. If anything, probably enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man more than any of the Tom Holland ones, to be honest. I think Andrew Garfield's been absolutely fucked
with
over.
With Lizard. Yeah, he has been fucked over. He was quite a good Peter Parker.
For anybody who doesn't know, why did Andrew Garfield get fucked over? Because he was very good as Spider-Man.
He was good. He was good.
Well, I think when Spider-Man was going to be introduced to the Avengers, which is a very complicated issue because Sony Pictures has the rights to Spider-Man, but they then lent them to Marvel so that Marvel could get Spider-Man into the Avengers in time for Endgame, and now they've got the rights for a bit longer. Andrew Garfield was busy, as far as I understand, and wasn't available to just be a bit part
a bit busy,
in, civil,
right?
in Civil War.
Yeah,
and then
busy,
yeah. Mm. And he was done with the character, to be honest with you.
I think,
he was a good.
It's a different version of Spider-Man, isn't it? But also, I think the Amazing Spider-Man 2 didn't do very well, or at least didn't do anywhere near the money that they wanted it to. So it's considered a flop. So if you're the MCU, you're not turning around going, look, you know that film that just bombed out? Let's have that guy. Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, look, I like all three of them. I even like Tobey Maguire. I'm excited to see. Do you know what I'm excited to see? Because Doctor Strange is in this as well, and he's actually playing a huge role in the MCU going forward in terms of the multiverse, because we've got the Multiverse of Madness coming out next year with Scarlet Witch and him in that, which is going to be a bit crazy. And I'm just excited to see, and I like the dynamic between Doctor Strange and Peter Parker, because Peter Parker lost Tony Stark, spoiler warning. The closest other relationship he has is probably with Doctor Strange now, because of their sort of screen time together in Endgame and stuff, and the fact that they're both in New York. You know, it makes sense. So I'm really excited to see this film, because I think the one thing about Tom Holland's Spider-Man is he is so much fun, like, as a character. Like, his general awkwardness, but then humor and one-liners is really infectious. It's really fun and humorous, and I can't wait to sort of go into a film where, like, Eternals, it was a bit of a slog, wasn't it, Gareth? We're there like, so, you know, you've got the fucking giant things which make the universe, but like, it's too much. There's too much going on here. I want to put my brain at the door and just watch fucking Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
Whose
I mean,
brain's this? Yeah.
Someone's left their fucking brain here.
He must be watching Eternals.
What an idiot.
It was a slog. But you've said there's too much going on in Eternals. I mean, you just listed about 12 movies worth of things happening in this Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's not like...
But it's Spider-Man, isn't it?
I'm excited for
Yay. I would much prefer it if the trailer was just 2 minutes of Tom Holland and Cumberbatch having a chat about the potential of the multiverse, and then that's it. We don't need to know that everyone's coming back.
That's an interesting trailer.
Can we not? Yeah. Like, can we just go back to that, please?
Yeah, lovely trailer.
Not, I've seen the film already. Like, you've already, like, honestly, unless they turn around and went, everything you've seen in the trailer is in the first 10 minutes, then I'd be like, fucking hell, what's going on in this film? A bit like what they did with
me.
They did that with Endgame, didn't they? Where it was like, everything you saw in the trailer, they said, is like the first 20 minutes of the film or whatever it was. So at least you're like, okay, cool. But we know that's not the case with this.
You're right. They do give away too much these days. And it was a huge... This is a problem. Like, there's so much social media, people filming, you know, secretly on sets and stuff. And there was a huge rumour going around about a year ago that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were coming back for this film. And they literally have done about 3 or 4 interviews each where they're like, we're not in this film, guys. Just fucking leave it. We're not in the film. Turns out they pretty much are going to be in the film. So they did try their best to cover it up. And I think Marvel just knew that it was leaked and they just have to sort of do a bit of fan service. But look, we're going to be reviewing it. So don't worry, guys. It's going to be reviewed here. John will hopefully see this one.
Oh, look,
definitely.
Definitely.
Because he's always on the Marvel podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
Let's do it.
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, that's Spider-Man No Way Home. And, you know...
What are we thinking about...
Is there a way...
What are we thinking about The Matrix?
Oh, genuinely really excited for that film. The Matrix is out Boxing Day, right? So the 26th of December. I'm sure we'll do a review of that. I think judging from the
Boxing Day, when is that? 4th of January.
Carry the one. The premise of that is fascinating to me because all the returning cast, pretty much, but some of them recast, like Morpheus, for example. But then also the idea that if you watch that trailer, and if you haven't seen the trailer for Matrix, the new Matrix, it's only one of the Wachowski sisters now doing the film. But the fact that it even pokes fun at the original Matrix in a sort of in-universe way, like at one point I think they're watching the Matrix in this trailer. Like, I'm really confused by it. So fascinated by that. And Keanu is hot property right now. And
yeah,
if they get some of his John Wick martial arts in there and a bit less of the fantastical elements and they go for a bit more hard martial arts, man, I'm so in on that film. But I'm really excited. So that's what I'm thinking about that, John.
Why is he John Wick in this film? Like, can we...
Because it's done so well. Like, it's fucking...
No, hold on.
He is. He's just... Just cut
the
hair.
Don't you want him to do the crazy martial arts, though? The non-realistic.
I mean, he will do anyway. He always did, but...
I want him to do a bit of a mixture, but
mixed martial arts.
It got silly.
It's very popular. Very popular.
The original Matrix is an absolute revolutionary film.
Just the way it made... was the third one, Revolutions.
Yeah,
the third,
The second and third Matrix films are terrible.
No, I don't think they're
terrible.
Reloaded.
Reloaded and Revolution.
Oh, fuck me. And they really ruined... At the time when I was a kid, I thought they were right, but now I've watched them again and I'm just like, what were they doing? And
the original Matrix, that does still hold up. It's actually an amazing film and it's so like... It takes you back to 1999 or 2000.
Definitely.
But it's like... It's a great movie to watch now. Brilliant movie.
The Matrix film literally is a philosophical question. It helped people with the Matrix theory that we're living in the Matrix now. Whatever the fuck people believe, it's a fascinating discussion, and we can't fit it in this podcast. But man, that film is amazing. So I'm really excited. Like, you know, and as I said, Keanu is awesome. So whatever.
Thanks for that,
John. That was a little. Little bonus there. Bonus for you listeners for free.
Please
go to patreon.com/fancritical. When we come back, you're gonna hear a jingle and you know we're gonna do the overrated, underrated thing. It's coming up now. Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's underrated? Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's overrated? That's the segment here for you now. It's underrated, overrated, yeah. All right, guys, this week it is the turn of Gareth. He is coming to us. Sounded dodgy. let me write that
overrated
down.
Overrated, all that.
No, joking. he's coming to us this week with his choice of overrated. I start with overrated, Gareth.
All right,
what you got for us?
Start with overrated. You know what? I realise this is going to cause some controversy. I know for a fact, Len is going to be furious about this.
Good.
And John,
very nice.
I suspect you will be too. I suspect you will be, but you might agree. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's the point, isn't it, with an overrated
shout.
Supposed to be divisive.
Get on with it.
I think that the Pixar classic, WALL-E, is overrated.
You get the fuck out of here. That is one of the best Pixar films ever designed.
So explain yourself. Explain yourself.
It is on IMDb, and you know, look, we don't take all of our judgments from IMDb, but on IMDb, it's the highest rated Pixar movie, and I think that's ludicrous. It's the 61st best film in the world ever. right.
We don't listen to IMDb though, do we?
Look, that's a fair place to say to get a judgment of how well rated something is. It's obviously rated very highly. Just for perspective, Toy Story, which is a far superior film, is ranked 81st at the moment.
I will agree that Toy Story is better.
Yeah, much better. I think Toy Story 3 is better too.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, that's my favourite Toy Story.
I also think Monsters, Inc. is a better film. I think Up is a better film. Heck, do you know what? I'm going to say it. I actually think Inside Out is a better film. So for me, Wall-E is maybe the fifth or sixth best Pixar film. I think it's a little bit devoid of life, and I know that's intended. I know that's the purpose of the film. That's the entire premise. But a Pixar film needs life. It needs personality.
It's got the little flower, and look, it's got the little plant.
Wally's. Yeah. Well, don't get me started on that plant. How the fuck is that surviving in space? It's some sort of nonsense plant. So if that plant can survive in space, that's not evidence that you can go back to Earth. And they all go, oh, bloody hell, look at that. It's a plant. We can go back to Earth. No. Well, no, you probably can't. Because that's an alien flower.
There's something... okay, a lot of information there, Gareth. I'll just run through my thoughts. You're right. Toy Story is a better Pixar film. I think Toy Story is incredible. I think Toy Story 3 is almost perfect as a film. I absolutely adore it. Wall-E is one of my favourite Pixar films. I don't think it's overrated. I think it's a very beautiful film. I think the first like half an hour of that film, there's no dialogue, if I'm right in saying that. I might be wrong, but there's something just beautiful about just watching Wall-E go about his daily life, and then this sort of love story that blossoms between him and I can't remember the girl robot's name. Eva. I absolutely adore it. I think it's cute. I think it's lovable. I think you might get a bit like annoyed with it when it gets a bit grandiose.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when it goes to the ship and there's all these quite annoying human characters, and they are annoying. And I think the most human character is Wall-E. And I think there's something really beautiful about that. I just adore him as a character, and he's infectiously cute, as well as Eva, and their relationship is just beautiful. And I definitely don't think it's overrated. If anything, I'd say it's underrated. I would say, yeah, ignoring the IMDb stuff, but when I speak to people on a day-to-day basis about what Pixar films they're like, Wall-E never comes up in the discussion. And I'm always a bit like, but it's really good. Have you guys seen Wall-E? And sometimes people are like, I haven't even seen Wall-E.
Yeah, although what I will say, Len, is we live in Australia. It's fucking mental, the films that these people haven't seen. I remember speaking to people who hadn't heard of Wall-E, and this was literally about a year ago. Yeah, that's weird. How mad is that?
Sometimes you're right. They haven't seen, like, they've only watched Crocodile Dundee.
Nobody's watched Jungle Book here. It's fucking bizarre. It's like some sort of weird Skippy. Black zone, like black hole where it doesn't exist.
What's that, Skip?
Yeah.
They've only watched.
Yeah.
What's Wall-E? Yeah.
All right. Well,
go on, John.
I'm interested to hear your score. If you had to bloob Wall-E, Gaz.
Oh, it probably still gets maximum reviews, but.
Oh, it gets maximum reviews. Okay.
No. So it's a four blueberry film. And do you know, I really like it. It's a lovely film. But I think, Len, you've actually spoken in, you've articulated exactly my problem with it. That first half an hour with no dialogue is a beautiful little short film. And I reckon it would work perfectly as a 30-minute Pixar short.
It would work very well.
It's not a full feature, not a full-length movie for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. it's funny because it could go in the underrated section. John, quick thoughts on Wally?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. This is the thing with this segment. You know, we're not saying that, you know, Gaz is certainly not saying that it's a bad film by any means. I think it's still a 5 bloob, but look, but you know, something can be a 4 bloob and be overrated. I get it. I would also agree that, you know, Toy Story Up, I mean, that first 10 minutes of Up is arguably the best 10 minutes of Pixar.
But that, it's just, but that works as a short story as well.
It's heartbreaking. Like,
do you see what I mean?
That's like so sad. So sad.
Where Up goes is bizarre, but I actually really love it. I really love it. But like Gaz said, that also is a, they have these vignettes. They do very well, vignettes Pixar do.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, Up needs the rest of the film. Up needs the rest of the film, because if you just ended after that 10 minutes,
oh God, you'd just end your life. End it all.
Oh, down.
It's only down from here.
See that new Pixar down. 10 minute show? Down. It's really, minimum. Man, honestly. It's awful. Minimum reviews, yeah.
All right, underrated.
Cars 2.
I've got a theme here.
God. It's fucking hell.
It's another animated movie with a robot, in fact. Big Hero 6. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah, good film.
It's a fucking brilliant movie.
I do.
It's a brilliant movie.
Gareth, do you know there's a show focusing on Baymax coming out on Disney Plus in about 2 months' time, which is its own show?
Well, let's talk about that in 2 months. So, you know, just for comparison, right? Again, I know IMDb isn't the Bible or anything, but it's, I mean, the Bible's not the
definitely
Bible.
Not
8.4 for Wall-E.
Overrated.
And Big Hero 6, 7.8. I think that's really unfair. You know, it's Disney, it's not Pixar, but yeah, nobody talks about it. It's a film that has got so much heart. It's funny. It's got an awesome vision of the future. San Francisco, the city's called, which is cool. Yeah. And like an awesome little cast of characters. And Baymax is a great robot. He's a cracking little chubby fella.
Yep.
Yeah, so much personality. And that is a film that no one talks about. Like, I know what you're saying. Wally maybe doesn't again. Get spoken about.
But there's the face again.
There he is. Look at him.
He's showing a picture of Baymax. If anyone doesn't know who Baymax is, Google it.
No, don't Google it. Just watch Big Hero 6.
Yeah. I think you're right, Gareth. Big Hero 6 isn't talked about, because it's not a Pixar film. So Pixar obviously comes with this huge weight and sort
well,
of,
seen the size of him.
Kudos behind it. Yeah. I think Big Hero 6 is a great film. I don't think it's better than Wall-E, but what I will say is there's a couple of characters in Big Hero 6 who are fundamentally very annoying. You know, I think Big Hero 6 is its strongest when it focuses on its central relationship between the kid and Baymax. Can't remember the kid's name. Jesus Christ.
No, it's not that, is it?
But the other... No. New Testament. But some of the other characters that get little suits around him and stuff is so irritating. And I think that really hurts it. And I think there's too much going on
Kid's
with that film.
Hero.
But it
Hero.
Is lovely. Hero, that's right. The film is lovely. And Baymax is adorable and huge. You definitely give him a cuddle. So, yeah. I do think it's underrated, though. I will say not a lot of people have seen that film.
No. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, though. Yeah, I have seen it, yeah. I'll be honest. It didn't really stick with me. It was kind of on in the background, and it never really pulled me in. So, I mean, one of the first questions on here, if you just Google Big Hero 6, Google is a search engine for anyone that's unfamiliar.
The Google.
But the top question on here, so people also ask, is Big Hero 6 hit or flop? Now, excusing the abysmal grammar there, maybe there's a thing there. Like,
is a Big Hero 6 hit or the
well,
flop?
Can I tell you this? When I was doing my research earlier, when I was doing my research for Wally, I went on the Google.com as well.
It's good. It's quite good.
And one of the questions was, is Wally a bad movie? I wonder if it's the same people.
Well,
asking these questions.
Well, is Wally bad movie? Or just is Wally bad?
Is Wally
or maybe
bad
is Willy movie? Bad? That's a different search, and it is
different search. Don't Google that. All right. Well, thank you, Gareth. I think that is a very interesting animated, underrated, overrated, underrated. Interesting discussion there. And obviously, listeners, you can get in touch with us on any of our platforms or email us. Let us know what you think about Gareth's bizarre decision making there. But that's it for this week. I want to thank my two 60-second boys. See what I did there? For joining me today. Yep. I think we've had some interesting discussions. I, for one, will finish this podcast and start watching emergency right. broadcasts.
Which I'm 100% watching that, undertones. Genuinely. Now, you know, I will also give this Hellbound a chance. But, you know, the YouTube is very accessible. Is Hellbound on Netflix, did you say?
Yep, Netflix. Netflix. It'll be in the top 10, I guarantee it. So,
overrated. You know,
that, like, top 10 section now they have.
Yep. Can't wait to bring that to the next overrated, underrated.
Oh my god, that's going to be glorious.
Hellbound, what a load of shit. Do. Yeah, that'd be good.
And Arcane. And a League of Legends story.
If someone from the podcast group was going to get the decree to be sent to hell, I would want it to be John, just to see the change in personality.
What sort of thing is that to say? You want me to go to hell? Fucking hell.
That's brutal. That's brutal. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for listening this week.
No, I just want to see the shift in your personality. You had a go at Hellbound, so it's going to send you to hell. Don't have a go at it.
No, fair enough.
You've been warned. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone. I hope you all don't go to hell. I hope you don't get the decree from the angel of death.
No, but instead,
and
get on. Give instead, us a review. Give us maximum review.
Maximum review.
Maximum review. And maximum money via patreon.com/fancritical. yes, greed, sin, going to hell. No, joking. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you, Gaz. Thank you, John. Thank you, lovely listeners. Thank you to our lovely Patreons who we shouted out earlier this episode. And we'll catch you on the next one, which will probably be a review of Spider-Man No Way Home, I believe. So get ready to check that out. Anyway, probably. Yeah, it will be. All right, bye everyone.
See ya. Laters, potatoes.
Ooh, bringing that one back.
Bringing that back.
Underrated.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.